This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Ayman and Cam, and today is January 24th, and that means that it's the International Day of Education. So this year's celebrations look at the many ways that learning can empower people, preserve the planet, build shared prosperity, and foster peace. And in light of that theme, we decided to take a closer look at the zero reject policy that's been taking place in our national education system over the past year.
So to be clear, the policy was implemented at the start of 2019 with a focus on getting children with special education needs as well as undocumented children into schools. This involves national and national type schools.
Yeah, and this is a fantastic policy to have, right? Because I have read stories before where some students feel like perhaps they don't belong in school just because, you know, they have certain needs that need to be met, or even undocumented children continue to be marginalized when it comes to education, even though it's a basic right, a basic, kind of priority for everyone. Every child needs to have an education. So I think this zero reject policy is a good one. It allows everyone to have access to that education.
Yeah, there's kind of like a feeling, the need that you and I here on BFM should be unbiased on this, and somehow impartial about, you know, government policies. But yeah, I can't see a downside on this, and I'd be interested to hear in the coming weeks who will find a downside to this. But yeah, no, absolutely. It's something that I care very passionately about, is access for special needs children and also undocumented children. It's mm-hmm. very important. And that's a little more contested. But of course, with this, everything has to be sewn up together. We have needs for transportation to be accessible for special needs children and their parents, of course, to be able to get the child to and from school. And access within the school, or even just to get into the school, two steps is enough to stop a child from getting into school.
Yes, yes.
So, and then access if school rooms are on the top floor, again, a child is unable to access school. So there's a lot that has to be done to this. But this is, I think, an important step.
Yeah, and I think it also helps to, in a way, relieve the burden on the shoulders of NGOs, right? Because just from like a general perspective, a lot of the education when it comes to undocumented kids, for example, is undertaken by non-government organizations. And this is done through a more ad hoc, perhaps informal way of teaching kids. So giving them access to national schools, I think, would allow the undocumented children to have education through a syllabus that has been designed properly, that has been catered for students that are suitable for whatever age ranges they are. So yeah, so it's a more systematic way of providing access to education for the undocumented kids. So after this, we will be speaking with Dato' Dr. Yasmin Hussein, the Director of the Special Education Division at the Ministry of Education, and she'll be helping us explore the zero reject policy. And in the meantime, if you or your child or maybe someone you know has been enrolled into schools under this policy, or if you just have any thoughts to share, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this, so keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're with Ayman and Cam on the evening edition, and we've been talking about the zero reject policy since today is the International Day of Education. So to help us get a better understanding of this policy, we have on the line Dato' Dr. Yasmin Hussein, Director of the Special Education Division in the Ministry of Education. Dr. Yasmin, thank you so much for joining us this evening. To start off, who does the policy cater to, specifically under the category of special needs students?
Okay, for the special needs students, we have six categories with us. That is students who are blind, students who are deaf, students who are having multiple disabilities, students with physical disability, students with a problem in speech. So those are the group that we cater. So for our zero reject policy, we allow all types of students who have the disability to come into schools, as long as, you know, the parents register them in school. Let's say, for example, if they have already registered at the state education department, so they can bring the students to school. But if they did not yet, registered their child in school, they can come to school and register the child in school. Our principal or the head teacher will assist them in putting in all the data about their child and also assisting them in terms of getting the OKU card from the Ministry of Women and Welfare. So that is what we say as zero reject policy. That means no child left behind.
What have been the enrollment figures since the start of the implementation of the policy last year?
So since the start of the zero reject policy, our data as of October 2019, we received about 13,000 students. Before this, every year there's increased about 5,000 students, the whole of Malaysia. But last year, we got 13,000 students.
What were the aspects of the policy that led to the spike in enrollment numbers this year?
Before this, when the child are not able to go to the toilet themselves, have behavior problem, or maybe the parents did not register the child in the system, those are the things that make parents didn't send the child to school. But now, even if they did not register, we allow them to come, and then the school will help them to register the children. And then we give them allowance 6 months. We give the parents allowance 6 months for the parents to bring the child to the hospital to endorse that the child is having disability and also having the OKU card. But the child will still be in school. It's just that we give the parents 6 months to bring the child for testing and also for the special card. We don't want them to be in school without having the diagnosis and even the card, because if they are being diagnosed and then stated that they are a special needs, the child will be given 150 ringgit per month as their allowance. And if they were to stay in the hostel, their food are provided for free. Okay? And then if they were to sit for the exam, extra time will be given to them if they were to sit for the exam. But if they don't have the endorsement saying that this is a child who is disabled, then they won't be able to get the 150 ringgit, they won't be able to get extra time for them to sit for the exam, they won't be able to stay in the hostel and being given free food. So it is important for them to have the diagnosis and also having the OKU card.
We read about the Inclusive Education Program where special needs students are integrated with mainstream students. Could you tell us more about that?
Okay, when they are capable, you know, they are capable and they are ready to go into the inclusive setting, then we will send them to the inclusive setting. That means they will be able to be together with their peers in the normal setting, in the regular setting. But of course, we want them to be in the integrated program first so that we know what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, and how far can they learn in order for us to put them in the inclusive setting. You know, when we say our students, the special needs students, being included in the inclusive program means they either are placed full-time or part of the day. Okay, full-time means they go to the inclusive setting the whole day. If part of the day or part-time or special inclusion, that means partial inclusion, that means they go maybe for subjects such as physical education or perhaps art, music, you know. So we send them part of the day, partial inclusion.
And for the rest of the time, right, are they enrolled in separate classes from the mainstream students?
These students, they are enrolled in a separate program, but in the same school system. They have their own classroom in the mainstream school. That means, let's say they're the mainstream school, then there's a program called Program Pendidikan Khas Integrasi PPKI. Okay, they have their own teachers, they have their own classroom, they even have their support, what we call as pembantu pengurusan murid. You know, they have someone to support them in the classroom.
You mentioned that there are separate teachers for the program. Are there enough teachers with the required training?
Okay, in fact, we don't have enough teachers. So as for now, we are still working out on how to get more teachers for our schools. Because our teachers are being trained either at the university or at the teacher training college with specialization, with special education specialization.
And I guess these students would also likely have different needs from one another. So how does the system accommodate this?
Okay, what our system accommodates our students is that when they come into school, our teacher will assess them. We also have our specialized audiologists, speech language therapists in our system. That is the Pusat Perkhidmatan Pendidikan Khas, where our all these professionals will help our teachers. And our teachers, once they know what are the strengths and the weaknesses of these students, they will prepare the individual education plan to teach the students. We have our curriculum, actually, but normally teachers will follow the curriculum or make the curriculum as a guide on how to teach the students. So when they have gone through or they are capable of following the IEP, then they will go to the next level. The IEP is a written statement of what are the strengths of the child, what are the weaknesses, and then how can teacher provide the maximum help to this child in order to overcome the weaknesses. For example, in mathematics, if the students can't even recognize the number 1 to 5, let's say, okay, the teacher will have to plan what are the long-term objectives that they want this child to achieve. So maybe the long-term is to make sure that this child will know the number 1 to 10 in 3 months. So the short-term objective will be learning 1 to 5 in 3 months' time, or learning 1 to 5 in 1 month. Okay? Then the teacher will teach this child the number 1 to 5 every day so that within that 1 month, the child will get 1 to 5. And within that 3 months, the child will get to number 10. And then the next 3 months will go up to 100. So that is the focus that the teacher will have to see what can the child do in terms of mathematics, in terms of Malay, in terms of English, you know. So those are the things that teacher will do. Not like any mainstream students where they come in, everything is there already. Because our students sometimes, they couldn't read and write yet. Even some could not even hold a pencil. If they couldn't hold a pencil, what are the strategies that the teacher can do in order to help them to hold a pencil before they can write?
So speaking personally, I think that this sounds like a great initiative. However, it also sounds very resource intensive. Have there been any challenges in implementing this program in schools?
Yeah, there are a lot of challenges. One, as I said just now, is of course having enough teachers and even our administrator. We want them to have the right competency in terms of special needs. And also, we also have challenges like having the mainstream teacher understand what is inclusive. What will they do when they receive the students who will be included in their classroom? We even have problems like, you know, child find of our at-risk children who have disability, so that we wanted to do early intervention. And then we also have issues like data of our special needs students, you know, issues like preparing for their teaching and learning, all the equipments for their teaching and learning, because we also have students who are deaf, who are blind, who need special equipment in their teaching and learning. You know, like for example, our students who are blind, we need braillers. And in order to provide braillers, we need to order them from abroad. And then we need to have, of course, we need to have the money, the budget to buy the braillers. So that is not only the special equipment, there are a lot of other equipments that we need to have. And also, one of the things that is also to consider as our issue is the curriculum, the co-curriculum, and also how can we do the assessment of this child. We cannot just be doing any kind of assessment because our children are different. So the curriculum, they are given the curriculum, let's say if they are 12 years old, can they do the curriculum at the year 6? Of course, they can, some of them. Those who can, we already send them for the inclusive setting. So also in terms of the infrastructure. So now what the government is doing, they gave us a location, and of course it will be in stages for us to do the maintenance of the classroom for our special needs students. Let's say for example, having ramps, having the railings, having parking for the disabled, even toilets for the disabled. So these are the things that we are doing to make sure that our students, you know, when they come to school, they have the proper whatever, you know, for their own needs there.
So you mentioned the challenges involved in integrating special needs students with mainstream students in the inclusive program. So how is this being addressed, and are there teachers trained to handle the issue?
Yeah, there are issues there. One of the issues is, of course, the student in the mainstream. So what we do is we make sure that the students understand who are their peers that come to their classroom with them. And another issue is parental issues. Parents sometimes don't understand. They're afraid that a child will follow our special needs students, you know. And also issues of training the teachers, because we have many teachers that we need to train them to make them understand about special needs. But actually in our system, in the teacher training program, even in the university program, if they are taking teacher training program, one of the components is about special education and inclusive education.
Are students of any age able to join the program? Say, for example, if they are 10 years old instead of 6 or 7 and are hoping to enroll in school?
Can. Even if 10 years old, they are welcome to come to school. Because sometimes parents didn't realize that there's a need for the child to be in school. So we have what we did with our service center, our Pusat Perkhidmatan Pendidikan Khas. We have 13 the whole of Malaysia. Our specialists will go to schools, will go to villages for child find to see if there's a need for the child to go into our special needs classes. And also we do an early intervention in our service center.
Is there anything else that is being looked into this year to sort of further strengthen the program or maybe even increase enrollment?
For more enrollment implementation this year, what we did is we sent our officers to schools on the first day of school to make sure that what we wanted to see, the implementation, is being done in school. And besides that, what we did is we have more trainings for our teachers in the specialization area. For example, if we were to train our teachers in terms of Down syndrome, what are the pedagogical approach that we want our teachers to do so that they know better, you know? And we work together with parents as well, because we want parents to be part of us in their teaching and learning of the children with disabilities in school.
Dr. Yasmin, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Yasmin Hussain, Director of the Special Education Division in the Ministry of Education, speaking to us about the zero reject policy in schools. So if you or your child or someone you know have been enrolled into schools under this policy, let us know what it's been like. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be heading to the news after this, so stay tuned on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.